This is the greatest discovery in the history of paleontology. We went to Alaska a few months ago with scientists from around the world, scientists from Oxford.
These in Denver.
These were men who were willing to look at the science. So I went to scientist after scientist, ended up talking to about 100 people on the cruise. So I said, I'd like to show you photos from science journals of an animal, and I'd like you to guess, if you could, what animal do you think they're from? And, you know, they couldn't guess that these are from a Tyrannosaurus rex. These are blood vessels and blood cells from a T-Rex in soft, inflexible, transparent tissue. And so I asked, how could it be that there is soft tissue if these bones are supposed to be tens of millions of years old? What I found was interesting.
What happened next happened by mistake. Mary put some fragments of the bone in acid to dissolve away the outermost layer of mineral. But the acid worked too fast, and all the mineral dissolved away. Being a fossil, there should have been nothing left. But there was, and it was elastic, like living tissue.
This is the piece.
No.
She showed us video she took under the microscope.
That's really what happened?
Yes.
That's the dinosaur bone?
Without mineral now. That's what was left.
It looked like the soft tissue she would have expected to find if it had been modern bone.
Well, let's say you took a steak and you wrapped it, you hermetically sealed it, you put it in your refrigerator. I mean, try freezing a steak for 10 years. Take it out, you're going to see it looks haggard. It's had a rough time in that refrigerator.
So you see this, and you think, what? You
see, I didn't want to tell anybody.
That you'd be ridiculed,
yes.
Right?
And so I said to my technician, okay, do it again, I don't believe it.
And yet, in sample after sample, they were there. Things that looked suspiciously like flexible, transparent blood vessels. She finally mustered the courage to tell Jack.
She said she dissolved the bone away and there were blood vessels. And, you know, I was like shocked. I mean,
how could that be?
How could that be? That's right.
Look at that.
Blood vessels and even what seemed to be intact cells pose a radical challenge to the existing rules of science that organic material can't possibly survive even a million years, let alone 68 million.
Now this has major implications for the age of Earth and fossils. If soft tissues and dinosaur bones are the norm, and that is what we are predicting, then these bones cannot be 65 million years old because they're loaded with soft tissues. These break down quickly, and so they can't be old at all.
These are pieces of an even older dinosaur, a well-preserved 80 million-year-old duckbill. When she dissolved it away in acid...
Let's put this under the scope here.
Well, look.
Is that a blood vessel?
This is a blood vessel.
Yes.
You see the branches right there? And look at all of them. And it's so consistent. Over and over and over again. You see this bone and it comes out and I get excited every time.
There is, first of all, just the soft tissue itself that we could look at and with our own eyes say, is this soft, stretchy material, is it 80 million years old? Is it 68 million years old?
This is what we mean by an example of soft tissue which was collected from the Triceratops horn in Montana. I'm going to stretch it. Look at how stretchy this is. And this is full of bone osteocytes, the tiny cells that make this tissue and then impregnate it with bone mineral. And this was found 1 foot from the surface in Montana in the presence of insects, microbes, rodents, plants, and fungal bodies. And we've recovered the DNA of all of those. So this cannot hang around for millions of years in the presence of all those organisms and oxygen and water. And so this is what we're talking about by soft tissue.
Right. Then there is carbon-14, and that is huge.
If the entire Earth were one giant ball of nothing but carbon-14, which deteriorates over time, in 1 million years, the entire ball, the size of the Earth, would be completely gone in 1 million years. Yet they're finding carbon-14 in dinosaur bones. And I'd like to point out, for the record, that a dinosaur bone is a lot smaller than the entire Earth, yet it's still got carbon-14 inside of it. In bottom line, layman's terms, though these tests, carbon dating in this case, can spit out dates all over the map in one single chunk of dinosaur bone, what it does prove by sheer virtue of having carbon inside of it is that what you are testing is not very old.
You have dinosaur DNA, and it's been published. Although, of course, these scientists, aware that they're threatened, they're even hated, they're mocked. They say, you know, you have people being fired for the discovery of dinosaur soft tissue for publishing it. What the discovery tells someone with common sense that this dinosaur is not 68 million years old. This dinosaur is more in the range of the age of Egyptian mummies. And so these scientists, first they're in denial, then I get them to Google on their own phone, they go to the journal Nature Science, they see it for themselves, and then they're just bewildered. And they also don't understand why they never heard of it. What should we find if, in fact, dinosaurs are millions of years old? When we look at dinosaur egg shells, and they have, and they've looked at the amino acids, you know what they say? Contamination. Why are there all these left-handed amino acids in these dinosaur eggshells? They shouldn't be there. They should be fully racemized, 50-50. And so you have amino acids, you have DNA half-life, you have carbon-14, then you have just the basic common sense of dinosaur soft tissue, where blood vessels are still transparent, flexible, they're stretchy, and when you squeeze them, blood cells come out.
If you are finding carbon-14 in dinosaur bones, which contain original biological material from a dinosaur, which you have 11 universities, including Harvard, that have verified that the soft tissue being found inside dinosaur bones is in fact original biological material from a dinosaur. If you've got those two things combined, then it's impossible to argue, it's very difficult to argue, that the carbon inside the dinosaur bones is contamination.
This was presented at a Singapore American Geophysical Conference, and it was presented by an international team of scientists who took 10 different dinosaurs from multiple continents, had them carbon-14 data at the world's leading labs, and they showed the results. And after the fact, the American Geophysical Union censored their paper, removed all reference from their paper, and all they said was, we are getting measurable carbon-14 from dinosaur bones all over the world.
And moreover, we have genetic and fossil evidence going back, and
we have blood vessels. We have blood vessels.
4 billion years old.
So you said that's been removed from YouTube now, and you can't find it anywhere?
Yes. The 60 Minutes video is still on YouTube. The 60 Minutes did that piece on Mary Schweitzer.
Roughly 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, maybe longer. Yeah, it's been a while. Yes.
You mentioned, you said that the evidential apologetics is the weakest but most widely used.
Yes.
And you know, we think of that, excuse me, in relation to atheism and those who do not know the Lord. But I think the reason why it's often used is that we have a whole other group of people besides that, and that's body of Christ, that has been so deceived by our public education that they are weak in the scriptures and do not have a part, and so they become weak in their knowledge of Christ. And I know we were there. We were totally deceived. And when God opened that up to us, it opened up a vision of, oh my gosh, this is God. And so I think that's why many times it's used and is effective in the lives of believers, because they didn't know. And when we knew, and God used our son, a simple question, when we decided to school him, he's like, I don't care what that says, but I am not an animal. We talked and said, what do we do about science? How do we teach our child? And God started opening all this stuff up. And so I think that's a benefit of evidential apologetics.
It is. It's
for the body of Christ.
It strengthens the faith of believers.
Yeah.
But what happens is, oh man, I gotta show this to my neighbor,
correct,
my boss, my best friend.
We come like
I
babies.
Gotta show it to everybody.
We become like
this is awesome stuff. And
we become like babies, yeah, because we get so excited.
Yes. And just truth resonates with truth. And some of it comes and goes. There used to be what was called the vapor canopy theory, that the earth was surrounded by a shell of water of some kind. And that's where the water, the gates of heaven opened up. That's been pretty much abandoned. It's just not a workable theory anymore. And so bigger things come and go. But there's stuff like this that's newer. Jack Horner, dinosaur hunter. Has he ever been on your property?
No.
Okay. Bob offered him $23,000 to test one of their T-Rexes. He refused it. Wouldn't do it. The test is $3,000 plus to $20,000 more for just grants. However you want to spend it. They would absolutely refuse. Because now we're getting into willingly ignorant. We don't want to know. Because we know what we're going to find. And we just can't. We can't allow it. And there's that kind of stubbornness that refuses to see. This is one of these guys. You just heard very briefly how obnoxious he is. That's normal. There is a movement to censor anything that could discredit Darwin. I mean, from governmental circles and on down. Which already somewhat exists in the whole separation of church and state thing, because the instant you mention dinosaurs being less than 10,000 years old, now you've just brought God in. What? I didn't talk about God? Well, because and I don't know if I talked about this, there's this idea, impossibility of the contrary. If we have A and B, those are our only two possibilities, and many recognize there are only two possibilities of origins. Either it was done, or it was accidental. And so if one can be shown false, the other is true by default. Impossibility of the contrary. And so the more we disprove Darwinism, which this is huge in showing the origin of information. Information is any complex ordered system, and the only known source of information is a mind. It does not. It has never ever been observed occurring naturally. So that's about. But if we can show evolution to be impossible, the only alternative is God.
Well, but there's people that they don't think that necessarily presupposes God. That's where you get the aliens. And there's some people that are saying, yes, okay, B has been disproven, but that doesn't mean God. It could be something else. Or
and there are people that are... We can go into that because...
Right.
Well, if we're an alien inside...
All I'm saying is there are people that go to A, but they don't necessarily go to God.
Right. And they call that's a negative evidence for God rather than positive evidence for God. So we deal with that too. About the aliens thing, if you're an alien in here, this is the universe, everything that exists, and you're monkeying with gravity, what is that doing to you? As an alien also inside the box. Or you're adjusting the strength of the electron or proton electric strength. You're changing the universe, which means it's got to affect you. It's impossible.
I mean, I'm not saying that I believe.
I'm just saying
there are people who,
when they bring that, when you
say, okay, fine, B's no longer true, but that doesn't mean God.
Okay, if you're going to say an alien put life on Earth, how did the aliens come into existence? Well, some other earlier aliens. Well, I mean, then you start backstepping through this whole thing to show.
Well, so the scientist is going to be like the atheist scientist would be. So if it's not true in his world, then he has to accept some sort of. So that's not
true. Right, not all intelligent design scientists are theists.
You know, maybe it's more likely that there is some god that gave birth to an egg that became the Earth. And I mean, like, there might be some really weird version.
Okay. Never get into speculation and mythology rather than...
Right, other religions besides Christianity and that one. I mean, like, because, I mean, those people have their belief of what happened.
In other words, there's one A and several Bs. They can take away whatever B they want. A still remains the same.
Yeah. And it does answer it consistently, persistently. These answers all come are very straightforward and easy. I think I read this before on, because evolutionists have physics envy. They tell the public that the science behind evolution is the same science that sent people to the moon and cures diseases. It's not. The science behind evolution is not empirical, but forensic. Because evolution took place in history, its scientific investigations are after the fact. No testing, no observations, no repeatability, no falsification, nothing at all like physics. I think this is what the public discerns, that evolution is just a bunch of just-so stories disguised as legitimate science. That comes out of the GeoTimes Journal. But as seen, it is to the advantage of some to blur the difference between these two kinds of science. You use a refrigerator and a computer, and you believe in God? And you go... So, what's your point? How are those at all related? Really? We need some counseling to help you think some of this stuff through. But that's the point, is to blur this distinction between what is essentially belief and what is science. And the science stuff, like this, observable, testable, repeatable science is what captures honest scientists' attention.
Kind of like looking at coal samples and diamonds and dinosaur bones and consistently finding C14.
Yes.
That's scientific, right?
Yes.
But it doesn't tell them what they want to hear, so they got to ignore it.
Exactly. Jack Horner doesn't want to know that his dinosaur is under. It's about, if you notice that he had paper on there, they're 20 to 30,000 years old for the carbon testing. Now that's kind of an out there limit because we have other adjustments to make. But the fact that there's measurable carbon 14 is proof it cannot be. Because theoretically, all carbon 14 is gone in a million years. We can't even measure it past 250,000 years. But theoretically, so we'll give it four times the amount, it's all gone. There should not be any measurable carbon-14 in these dinosaur bones. And next week I'll talk about diamonds. That's a huge, been a known problem for a long time, that there is carbon-14 in diamonds, and the youngest diamond is supposed to be more than a billion years old. It shouldn't exist, but it does. So
we can create it in a lab, so how hard could it be to be created earlier elsewhere? But we'll ignore the fact that we created it in a lab, even though they have to make enough saw blades with diamond tips to cut stuff. So,
So with science, and there's more stuff in there. One of the things he talked about, remember about the eggshells? So they're finding left-handed amino acids. Well, all nature-produced molecules that are three-dimensional have a right and left-handed shape to them. They're mirror images. It's the same molecule. It's the same chemical. Reacts all the same way. And nature naturally produces 50-50 right and left-handed molecules. But all living systems use 100% left-hand or 100% right-hand, depending on what they're doing. And so when these amino acids are discovered, when a creature stops living and starts breaking down, those molecules that are all left-handed, half of them, they'll start little by little flipping to become the right-handed. And so after a period of time, that's another way of measuring an age of something that was living. We call racemization, that they spontaneously, the molecules flip and become right and left-handed. And at some point, they become 50-50, and they'll stay that way. So when they find 100% left-handed amino acids in dinosaur eggshells, that means they're not very old. They cannot be very old because those molecules will naturally flip